Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on the 17th day of November, 2020. And before I introduce to you my guest, I request once again some very urgent prayer for my dear friend of many years, over 25 years actually, who is an Orthodox Presbyterian pastor on Long Island, New York, Pastor Meint Plugman, that's M-E-I-N-T, P as in Peter, L-O-E-G-M-A-N, Meint Plugman. He's originally from Holland and came here to the United States some time ago. He is the pastor of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Bohemia, Long Island, New York. Well, if you were listening yesterday, you heard the tragic news that on Sunday morning he fell off of a ladder while cleaning leaves out of a gutter at his church building, and he fell 10 feet, and unfortunately he is has severe brain damage, and I believe the family has met or is meeting with the doctors today to discuss whether or not he will be removed from life support. So please pray for this dear brother and pray for the Plugman family as they are faced with this decision and as they cope with losing a precious loved one like dear brother Meint. And I will give you updates as I have them. Today we have on our program a returning guest. His name is Dennis E. Rowe. He's the General Secretary of Westminster Biblical Mission. And today we are going to be addressing Reformed theology and missions, a perfect match. And we'll be hearing more about some updates that you'll need to know about Westminster Biblical Mission and the services they provide for the body of Christ. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dennis E. Rowe.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's my privilege to be here today and share with you what God is doing in the fields that we are called to serve with Westminster Biblical Mission.
Great. Well, why don't you right off the bat tell our listeners about Westminster Biblical Mission?
Well, Westminster Biblical Missions was founded in 1973 in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, your home state now, and came about from a couple of missionaries who were doing work, and they became, so to say, disenfranchised by their sending board. Sadly, those things happened, but they were Presbyterian and Reformed, and they realized that they needed to have oversight, and so they called upon men that they knew in the ministry and some laymen who were committed Christian brothers in Presbyterian and Reformed churches and asked them to come together and help them to have oversight, and they organized the board. And so it had that beginning. These were missionaries from Brazil originally who had worked together. And then they began looking for God's leading and a call. And one brother really believed it was like a Macedonian call for him to go to South Korea. And the other was led to Pakistan. Those are their two beginning fields for Westminster Biblical Missions. And God blessed the work in South Korea to grow and become self-sufficient, self-supporting, self-governing. Those are our goals as a mission always with the fields that we work in. We're not original in that thought. That actually came from John Nevius, notable Reformed minister and missionary in the 19th century. And Nevius's method was to build up the indigenous population to be that very thing, self-governing, self-propagating, and self-supporting. So that's a basic philosophy that governs our mission field. We believe it's a biblical philosophy, this is what God would have us to do. We don't lord it over one another. When we go into a particular area of the world, we go as brothers in Christ. And it may be that we're mature brothers, but we're brothers, and we believe in that, you know, that these brothers will be competent leaders in time. We often are laboring to build them up, to have training and so forth, so that they can take on those responsibilities that lead to that goal of being, you know, self-governing, self-propagating, self-supporting.
By the way, brother, are you using a speakerphone? Because you're just slightly muffled. It's still, you're still audible, but you're slightly muffled.
I am. I'm using my iPhone. I moved since I was last on the program and closer to the big city, and yet I'm kind of rural, so this is my main form of communication.
Okay, I guess we'll just have to cope with the audio quality the way it is.
Sorry about that.
One of the things that our audience may be unfamiliar with is the primary denominational affiliation that you have, the Reformed Church in the United States, otherwise known as the RCUS, formerly known as the Eureka Classis. Why don't you tell our listeners about the RCUS?
Be glad to. That is my denomination that I've been privileged to serve since 1983. I've been a minister when it was the Eureka Classis, so I was there for the organization of our synod, which we now have four classes that make up that synod. And it's not that the Westminster Biblical Missions is exclusive to the RCUS, but just in God's providence, I mean, that's been my denomination, and as we need new board members, the fellowship I have within that context has been primary, and of course I know these brothers well, and we're very concerned about having men who serve with us that are sound in doctrine and in practice. So we do have the majority on the board, although it's not always been the case. There have been times where PCA brothers and OPC brothers have dominated the board. But with the 30 years that I've now served, this is my 30th year as General Secretary, it's been that influence. And, you know, the Reformed Church of the United States is a historic denomination. We are in our 272nd Synod. I may be off on that. I haven't been there for all of them, that's for sure, Chris. But I've been there for a number. I retired from the active pastoral ministry 5 years ago with some health issues, but I continued to labor within the bounds of the RCUS. We have a majority now from the Reformed Church, and of course, a little difference is that brothers from, you know, strictly Reformed usually are holding to the three forms of unity. Well, we certainly are in agreement with them, and we have to be a minister in the RCUS. The governing creedal documents for Westminster Biblical Missions are the Westminster Standards. That was the history of, you know, Westminster Biblical Missions in the first place with the initial missionaries who helped to found this. All those brothers are no longer with us. One has graduated to the Church Victorious, and another has retired in his 80s.
Now, is there anything that sets the RCUS apart from some of the other major Reformed denominations like the LPC, like the PCA, like the ARP, and other of the more well-known Reformed denominations, and of course, let me throw in there the RPCNA, the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, known as the Covenanters, who are set apart due to their belief in exclusive psalmody in worship and also exclusive a cappella worship, although there are pastors and congregations within the other denominations I mentioned who also have adopted that position, although in those other denominations they are a minority. So is there anything that would stand out as being unique to the RCUS?
Well, I'm afraid so. I'll answer it that way. It shouldn't be unique to the RCUS. I mean, we are very strict about our ministers and office bearers holding to six-day creation, six normal days of creation.
Well, that's refreshing to hear.
That's an anomaly in our day, I'm sad to say.
But I think it's a requirement for the faculty at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in South Carolina. I'm almost certain on that.
Yes, I believe that's correct. Our brother Joey Pipe has done an excellent work there, and no doubt Morton Smith and others that I'm quite familiar with. And we also, the issue of women in ecclesiastical office and other things that seem to, going with whatever is politically correct, whichever way the wind is blowing, denominations seem to be battling with these things within and even wavering on them, whereas they're just not even an issue with us in the RCUS. You know, our big concern is being faithful and bringing the gospel to this generation and doing that locally with our home mission works of planting churches and as well internationally with foreign missions. And I'm happy to say that our denomination does recommend Westminster Biblical Missions. It helps with some support. It's voluntary, but I'm just amazed at our little church as it is. I mean, we only have, 50 congregations at the most, and how generously they give and support, the work of Westminster Biblical Missions, not only ours, but our denomination's working in Africa, which I've helped with, and in the Philippines, and it's just amazing. So that's a real encouragement to me.
Well, if anybody wants to find out more about Westminster Biblical Mission, you can go to WBM for Westminster Biblical Mission INC for incorporated.org, WBMINC.org, and hopefully we will remember to repeat that later on in the program. Well, before I get into some specific details regarding updates all over the world in regard to the Westminster Biblical Missions, I'd like you to spend some time seeking to clarify to our listeners how Reformed theology is not only compatible with the notion of missions, they are in perfect harmony, unlike the slanderous accusations that many outside of the Reformed faith hurl at us, we who are Reformed, who teach that Calvinism is the death knell of missions, and that they are incompatible, that the phrase Reformed missionary would be an oxymoron. And yet we who are Reformed, who understand these things, we see them as a match made in heaven. We see them as perfectly harmonious and even more of a bolster, of a encourager into a driving force behind those who enter into the mission field, because people, brave, courageous, dedicated missionaries that venture out abroad, and even some domestic missionaries who evangelize in the 50 states, but they are certain, because of our theology, not in spite of it, they are certain that God's elect will come out from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and therefore their efforts will never be in vain, even if they personally never see fruit being born on this earth while they are personally on that mission field or while they are alive. But we believe that ultimately these promises will occur. But if you could tell us in your own words, why is Reformed theology and missions a perfect match?
Well, I think most people recognize that one of the key things that we who believe that the Reformed faith is the best human representation of biblical Christianity, and at the heart of it is God's sovereignty. And God has sovereignly commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. To go. I mean, when you look at Matthew 28, most people only quote 19 and 20 for the emphasis upon the Great Commission. They miss verse 18, where Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." He pronounces himself as the sovereign who says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." And we understand that God ordains the means as well as the end. And he has ordained the preaching of the gospel. To those who perish, yes, it's foolishness, but to those who are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone who believes. And so we understand that is what God, requires of his church to be doing. We're to be a light set upon a hill, not a candle hidden under a basket. But we're to be that light that reflects Jesus Christ unto the nations. I mean, as well, the New Testament, that's a great emphasis that we saw, the calling in of the Gentiles, literally the nations, all the nations, from every kindred, from every tribe. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to be faithful to the Lord who has called us. And his sovereignty, and this is what people need to understand, his sovereignty is what validates, his commandments. And what is accomplished? If we're doing the will of God, then we expect to see the fruit of that. And when we disobey him and not do it, we see the fruit of that as well. You reap what you sow. It's a very clear principle. And of course, he tells us we're to go into all the world and sell. And, you know, that's what we're doing. One of our oldest logo has a picture of a sower with Westminster Biblical Missions. By the way, it's plural, Chris. Westminster Biblical Missions is the sower. We're going forth to sow the seed.
By the way, just to defend myself, on your own website it says Westminster Biblical Mission Singular.
Oh, no. Oh, those website people, what are they? I'll get that. Thank you. I'll make that correction.
Assuming that I gave the correct URL, wbminc.org.
You did?
That's the website I'm looking at, and it's singular right at the top.
Yeah. That's terrible. How did we miss that? All right. I'll make note of that, brother. But as I say, you know, the Reformed faith is most compatible because we believe in its sovereignty, and his sovereignty equates with authority. And that's the way Jesus began the Great Commission. All authority is granted to him on heaven and earth, and we must go. And go we will. You know, there was a book once, wasn't there, called The Accidental Tourist? Now, I have never read that, so it may be a bad book.
I believe I saw a movie version of that many years ago, but I can't remember if I enjoyed it or not. And if I enjoyed it, maybe I shouldn't have.
That can be. I bring that up just because I think of myself. When I was in seminary in the early 70s, that, people ask me, you ever consider being a missionary? Oh, no. You know, my thoughts have nothing to do with foreign missions. We need the gospel right here in the United States of America. Well, God is sovereign, and he had other plans for me. He soon brought people into my life that changed that direction. And, one thing led to another. I could share some of those anecdotal stories with you if you'd like. I say I'm the accidental missionary. That's what I was leading up to. You know, I had no intent. Although my wife says that when I proposed to her, we were in this kind of an argument, you know, about she had come to school to be a missionary. And I said to her, I said, well, look at me. I'm a full-time mission field. And sure enough, she's been with me 43 years, this accidental missionary, and encouraging me in this work. One thing led to another where I met brothers from other nations, and they pressed upon me, come and help us. Come and help us. And I had an intimate relation with them and their families and helping them pastorally in the church where I served first in Pennsylvania. And then in the same here in California where I now live. And one thing led to another, and I've been involved with foreign missions for over 30 years.
Well, praise God for that. In fact, what we're going to do right now, because I'd rather not interrupt you mid-sentence, but we're going to go to our first break right now. And if anybody wants to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say we are discussing a theological issue that you agree with, but you are at odds with your own pastor or your elders or the dominant number of members in your own congregation. You're at odds with them over this, and you'd rather not draw attention to your identity. Or you're a pastor, and you're at odds with your fellow co-elders or your denomination over this issue that you are asking about. Or it could be a number of things that would compel you to remain anonymous, and we will grant you that request to keep you anonymous, but We're just requesting, please, that if it's just a general theological question or a question specifically about Westminster Biblical Mission or the RCUS, the Reformed Church in the United States, a general kind of question, historically, theologically, doctrinally, then please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dennis Rowe right after these messages from our sponsors.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in his holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and his doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent,
as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned in to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Dennis E. Rowe, General Secretary of Westminster Biblical Missions, plural. And we are discussing how Reformed theology is actually a perfect match for missions. And we're also, in just a bit, going to be hearing about some specific updates on the mission field regarding Westminster Biblical Missions. If you do have questions of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Before I move on to any other specific question, you had some anecdotes. Did you want to share some more?
Well, I was thinking in particular about how I got involved with Westminster Biblical Missions.
Okay.
And there's a lesson for all of us there. When I first graduated from seminary, I didn't go right into the pastoral ministry. I wanted to get back into the life of the church. And I was working in a church in Wisconsin, and every Wednesday evening, the pastor would read very faithfully this missionary newsletter. And I was just impressed that, I had never heard a missionary newsletter like this that was really a theological, tome, if you will. Much was being taught, and they were just excellent in that way. It wasn't just selling things and saying, oh, everything's good and wonderful, wherein the reality is the mission field, like church work, is often very difficult. A lot of issues and problems and discouragements. I mean, just read the New Testament, Paul's labors. I mean, they were trying to kill him. But anyhow, so I did go into the pastoral ministry in 1982 with the church in Pennsylvania, and it wasn't too far from Westminster Seminary, and I heard that, there was some lectures going to be given at the seminary, and they were open to pastors. It was on the diaconate, and the teacher was Tim Keller. I bring this up in particular, and most people know of Tim Keller and should be praying for him. He's quite ill with pancreatic cancer. But I was there to hear him speak about the diaconate and how to incorporate that ministry and build it up in a local church. And as I'm on a coffee break, I'm standing there talking to a fellow, and he told me he was a missionary to South Korea. And I go, really? Have you ever heard of such and such missionary for Westminster Biblical Missions? He says, I sure have. I'm he. And so I'm at this coffee place. And I tell that story because Tim recently told a story how that God used a particular circumstance, unbeknownst to the speaker, I think it was J.I. Packer, that God used it in Tim's life, and that's how he and his wife ended up in Manhattan church planting. Well, it's how I ended up in missions, because that missionary grabbed a hold of me and said, you need to get involved. And our next meeting is such and such, come. And, you know, the rest is history. I thank God for that, and it's been a real blessing to be involved with the mission board, because we're a small mission, but, you know, it's with great things to do. We serve a great God. And the intimacy of the board, knowing the faithful men, their commitment, our missionaries, it's not a huge organization where you hardly know one another, but the commitment to the work and the sacrifice of the individuals involved has always been, you know, an encouragement to me and make me count it as a great privilege to serve with these men. A missionary who gives, you know, most of his inheritance to build up the work on the field. That's just one example. A missionary working for, you know, 20 years, never taking any salary. I mean, that's just amazing to me. And to be involved with men like that is just a tremendous encouragement. But just a shout out to Tim Keller. Thank you, brother, for having those lectures. You got me involved with Westminster Community.
Well, that's some providence, especially since the denomination that you are in obviously would not permit Tim to be a pastor, since he is an old earth creationist. And I would disagree.
I would
disagree.
Be aware of that.
Yeah, and I would disagree radically with him, because he even, I think, is on the extreme fringe of the old earth folks. But we do ask our listeners to pray for him, because he has one of the most deadly, if not the deadliest, forms of cancer. My own mother perished from pancreatic cancer in 1995. I am so glad that she made a clear profession of the biblical gospel and her total trust in it, and her total trust in Christ alone and his finished work on Calvary, in order for her to enter into heaven, which I have absolutely no doubt that she did, having been a witness to her clear biblical proclamation of faith. But let's hear about some of the unique mission fields that you are working with Westminster Biblical Mission. I know that Pakistan is one. Tell us something about the religious climate, if you will, of Pakistan. I know that there are obviously Muslims there in abundance, but from what I understand, it is a country where Christianity at some level is tolerated.
Well, when Pakistan was formed in 1947, I believe, the British government insisted that there be religious tolerance, even though Pakistan literally means the Holy Land. And they're not talking about Christianity, they're talking about Islam. And that was the reason for their forming. They were a part of India, they wanted to have a Muslim nation. And that was allowed. There was partition. And, the nation was supposed to allow freedom of religion. And that's the point. But sadly, that has been more and more encroached upon, especially when they passed a good number of years ago now, the blasphemy law, where someone can bring a charge against another person for blasphemy against the prophet Muhammad, of course, and that law is often used as a trumped-up charge to bring persecution and wreak havoc in Christian lives. They're accused of, you know, attacking the Quran sometimes if they have one and they set it down, or, you know, just the littlest excuses. And because so many of the people are uneducated and illiterate, which we're trying to work to help alleviate with our mission, we have 35 literacy centers. They're Bible literacy centers. But because they're so illiterate, you know, they just get stirred up by the religious leaders, the mullahs, as they're called, and to, oh, this person is blasphemed against the prophet, and they don't even know whether it's factual or whatever. And often it's been just a trumped-up charge. Sometimes it's because somebody wants to get another person's property or somehow, you know, get at them to take advantage of them, and they do it using that law. And it's just wreaked havoc and a lot of fear for the Christian. And, of course, in the culture, the Christians were allowed to work and to live supposedly freely, but they would only get so far in the society. They would not hold the higher places and in the government and offices. You know, they were quite repressed. And now we see it really going to the extreme where, with Sharia law, there have been young Christian girls kidnapped and raped and forced to convert to Islam and Islamic marriage. Thankfully, a real recent case was overturned by their courts. She had to be returned to her family. But it's things like that that make day-to-day living in Pakistan not easy. And, you know, mobs have burned down entire villages over just suspect that someone may have blasphemed the prophet. You just have to shout that out, and you know, mobs go in and in their frenzy do all sorts of harm. They burn down church buildings, homes, and it's a powder keg. And the many years since I've been going there, I mean, I first went back in late 80s, you know, the people were so sweet and kind and seemed really open. You didn't sense any fear. And then returning 20 years later, you could just see the angst on people, and they were just looking at you and, you know, sort of say, giving you the evil eye and even saying things and speaking, you know, making derogatory comments when I might be walking beside a Pakistani woman. You know, when we're at the school, we have a lot of lady teachers at our school, and it's just become almost unbearable for many of the Christian people there.
Now tell us something about the school. I know that the somehow, even in spite of the danger that you just mentioned, I know that the Anglican Orthodox Church denomination, which is a theologically reformed Anglican denomination, adhering to the 39 Articles, which is a very faithful, biblical, and reformed confession.
Yes, I'm familiar with them.
And yeah, they have a seminary there that manages to exist. Tell us about your school.
We began with theological education. I remember a trip in 89 where we were renting a building and we only had the one student and didn't know whether we'd have a student the next year. But God in His sovereign good providence has enabled us to press on, and through missionaries laboring in Villanova, Pennsylvania, the two original missionaries were helping a local church there. The church failed, but the property was quite valuable, as you know, Villanova area, because of the university. And they were able to give us a large sum of money. It was $100,000. We never had money like that. But we were able to purchase our property there, the first property. We now have four. And at that first property, though, our sole goal and our director there was to have a theological school and training for pastors. Critical need, still is. But we were able to build a building God's people gave. We have the seminary building. But then the director's wife had a real burden on her heart. She saw all the children in the area. And this is an area of Lahore, Pakistan, very large city, second only to Karachi in the south. And she saw these children, and they were in an area known as Johannabad. Get John from that, Johan. And it was a Christian colony, supposedly. Of course, the Muslims could come and live if they wanted. But it was primarily started out as a Christian colony, and she saw all these poor children, and she pleaded with her husband, "Oh, can we have the children over?" He goes, "Oh, if we do that, then they'll come in large numbers, and we won't be able to have the seminary, and it'll be a real problem." And he said no for a long time, but she prevailed upon him. I have a picture of our first group of students. She said she wanted to have them just for a little Bible study and maybe some cookies and milk. And I have these 12 children. Half of them are naked, a picture of them. And from that grew Calvin Christian Academy, 1,400 students at the largest amount at that school, and then three more campuses now where approaching, 3,000 students. It's amazing what God does.
Wow. In fact, we're going to pick up on a further description of Calvin Christian Academy when we return from our midway break. And I ask of our listeners to please be patient with us because the midway break is a bit longer than the other breaks in the show because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they, by FCC regulations, must localize their programming to Lake City, Florida, and therefore they air their own public service announcements and other local things, and we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So, please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize our advertisers. Because remember, folks, we need our advertisers to be happy so that they keep renewing their advertising contracts so that we can remain on the air. We absolutely, positively depend upon our advertisers to exist because of the finances that come through their advertising. So please be patient during this break, and always remember that this break is containing so many ads because we need them to remain on the air. We ask of you, when you can't patronize a business by purchasing their products or using their services, or if you can't visit a specific church because it's far outside of your area where you live, and you're more than happy at the congregation where you're a member, well, please at least respond to these ads by thanking the sponsors for sponsoring the show so that they at least hear from you. But also use this time to send in a question for Dennis E. Rowe about Reformed theology and missions, and specifically about Westminster Biblical Missions. And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, city and state of residence, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dennis Rowe after these messages from our sponsor.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Arnes and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
Faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, that solid-ground-books.com is a primary, a premier, a vital sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And without their financial support, we would likely not exist, barring a miracle from God. So please visit frequently and purchase generously from solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. You're not only going to be doing them a favor by purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor because you're keeping one of our advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor, because they publish and carry the finest in Christian literature from the past and present. All of their literature is theologically reformed and biblically sound, from the greatest minds of the Christian past up to the present. And we always love to hear from Mike Adosh, the founder of solid-ground-books.com, how faithful you, our listeners, are in purchasing from them. And you're not going to regret it. And with Christmas coming up and with all the other reasons you purchase gifts, please go to solid-ground-books.com and visit that site frequently and purchase generously. Always mention when you make purchases at solid-ground-books.com that you heard about them from Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Dennis E. Rowe in our discussion on Westminster Biblical Missions, we just have a few announcements to make. First of all, on Thursday of this week, we hope you listen every single day, but I'm just highlighting some interesting interviews. Not that all of our interviews aren't interesting, but this first one that I'm mentioning involves a free giveaway of a very expensive book. On Thursday, we're going to be interviewing Scott Christensen once again, and he is the author of a new book that is really addressing one of the most frequently asked questions from especially atheists and agnostics, if God is such a good and wonderful and gracious and benevolent and merciful God, why is there evil in this world? Well, this book by Scott Christensen addresses that. The title of the book is What About Evil? A Defense of God's Sovereign Glory. And this is a massive hardback, and we are giving away a limited number of copies to those who send in questions to Scott, and they have to be good questions, good enough to be read on the air. And so if you're interested in that, make sure you mark your calendars for this Thursday. And then on Friday, for all of our Anglican listeners, and we notice that we have a growing number of Anglican and conservative, biblically sound Episcopalians. Yes, they do exist. we have on the show on Friday for the very first time Bishop Robert Bierman, who is a bishop in the Anglican Reformed Church, which is a scripturally sound denomination adhering to the 39 Articles of Religion. As I mentioned even earlier today, a faithful confession drafted by the great English reformer Thomas Cranmer. And I think that I inverted some of the words in his denomination. It's the Reformed Anglican Church. Maybe I got it right the first time. I don't know. Bishop Bierman is a bishop in the Reformed Anglican Church. And we have not yet decided on a specific theme, but we will have that for you announced at least the day before the broadcast, God willing. And we've got a lot of other interviews, so try to listen every day to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and via live streaming globally at ironsharpensironradio.com. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I am urging you, I am desperately urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, an address will appear on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You can also advertise with us. We are in urgent need of your advertising dollars as well. So as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. I remind you folks, please never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your own local church where you are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never, in other words, never punish your own church financially by blessing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. And also, please never put your family in financial peril if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet and you're way behind on bills and so forth. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and you love this show, and you don't want us to disappear, please help us survive. Please send us a check or donate online at ironsharpensironradio.com. Then click support, then click to donate now. And I'm urging you, those of you who have never given, please give for the first time. Those of you who haven't given in quite a while, please give again. And even those of you who are already giving, please give more if you can. And I don't want to undermine my gratitude to all of you who are faithful supporters financially of this program. I can't even describe in the English language how grateful to God I am for you, and how grateful I am to you for your sacrifices, for your love of this program, for your encouragement. So please don't ever think that I take you for granted. I thank God and I love each and every one of you, even though many of you who I've never met. I thank God for you, and I hope that you continue to find this program worthy of your finances. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, and I may be able to help you find a church, sometimes right around the corner from where you live. It's been amazing to me how I have found churches for listeners in our audience in all parts of the planet Earth that didn't even know that these biblically sound churches existed minutes from their home. I may be able to help you too, so send me an email if you are in that condition of needing a good biblically faithful church, no matter where you live on the globe. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question for Dennis E. Rowe, the General Secretary of Westminster Biblical Missions. And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. I'll take a listener question before I have you return to your discussion on Calvin Christian Academy, I believe it was called, in Pakistan. But we do have an anonymous listener who says, you said earlier that Calvinism is compatible with mission work. It's my understanding that a Calvinistic Baptist group in the 18th century did not even believe in mission work, and they split from other Baptists over that issue because of their Calvinism. I believe they are called the Primitive Baptists. Well, I don't know, Dennis, if you know anything about the Primitive Baptists. I know something about them. I'm not an expert on them. Today, there are thankfully some that are biblically sound, but there are quite a number of them that are hyper-Calvinists. And they didn't begin that way, from my understanding. In fact, they were not opposed to missionary work. They were opposed to parachurch mission boards. They believed that missionaries should be sent out by local churches and not by a parachurch mission board, but then they eventually devolved into a hyper-Calvinistic denomination. But do you have anything to add about that, Dennis?
I'm not an authority either. I mean, I've come into contact with, you know, people who have been a part of a Primitive Baptist congregation, and yeah, they have come to a point where they don't believe in the free offer of the gospel. Well, you're certainly not going to be mission-oriented. They're not what we would call evangelical. I mean, Calvinistic and Reformed churches ought to be evangelical. We believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And that how should they hear unless there's this preacher who would preach so they could, you know, by the work of the Holy Spirit, come to saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I just have to say they are sincerely mistaken. And, I can give you a list. In fact, I was thinking of that. You mentioned earlier, I do teach. I'm a professor of evangelism and missions at City Seminary in Sacramento, and I teach missions. There's a great website that people can go to if they want a list of missionaries and read their biographies. And you'll see a preponderance of these men and women who are Calvinists. Go to missionarybiographies.com. Simple as that, missionarybiographies.com.
MissionaryBiographiesPlural.com.
That's correct. Yep. MissionaryBiographies.com.
And by the way, go ahead, I'm sorry. Continue.
Well, they have a great list of missionaries that God used, that names that are familiar to many of us, you know, like David Brainerd, Missionary American Indians, William Carey, English Baptist Missionary to India, James Chalmers. I mean, the list goes on. And you see that most all of these people would have been in agreement on, the heart of Reformed theology. There may be particular differences, as you have still to this day, between Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians, but we hold hands together when it comes to the work of, taking the gospel into all the world. We're commanded, Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what an evangelical does in the true sense of the word. And they're Calvinists. And of course, there are those who are not Calvinists who carry out this great mission as well.
By the way, I just wanted to, for the sake of my listeners and friends and even financial supporters of this show in the Protestant Reform denomination who may have recoiled in horror because they deny the free offer of the gospel, but they think that most people define that incorrectly. Whether or not that's true or not, I can't say. But I just want to say that there is a disagreement amongst faithfully Reformed Christians over that, but I can tell you that the Protestant Reformed Church, even though they say they deny the free offer of the gospel, they do believe in the indiscriminate evangelism of the lost. You know, they will evangelize everyone from the most perverse prostitute to the most pious preacher who may have a false gospel. So I just wanted to give that caveat because I know that there is a debate amongst Reformed believers about that issue because of the way that phrase is defined. I just wanted to throw that out there.
No, I understand it well. I was born and reared in Michigan.
That's right. Yes, the Mecca of Calvinism in the United States.
The Jerusalem of the Reformed Church.
Yeah, I guess that's a better way to phrase it than the Mecca. Well, let's go back to Pakistan and your Calvin Christian Academy in Lahore. I had to interrupt you when you were in the middle of describing the growth of that academy.
Amazing what God did there. You know, it was through the heartfelt compassion of our director's wife. She has since gone to be with the Lord, but you know, she just saw those poor naked children. And you want to talk about slums? You know, we don't see slums like that in the United States. I mean, open sewage and filth that you can't imagine. I've traveled thousands of miles in Pakistan, and I don't recall ever seeing a clean body of water. So, short of it is, her compassion was the catalyst that God put in her heart for these children. And, you know, Calvin Christian School began to develop. Grade kindergarten first, and the Bible study, and then K through 4 and 8, and now full school. It's the British system, so it's K through 10. Then they matriculate, into a college-level course. And then another academy in an area where there were a number of believers, another Christian colony. And then a third and a fourth. And it's just amazing, you know, step back and see what God is doing. But, you know, in all of that, it's to be faithful to the Word of God. Every morning about 4:45 a.m., I believe, now at Calvin Academy 1, from the loudspeakers, the Word of God is read every day, reading through the Bible, and it radiates out into the community. And the director says, turn in page number 127 of your Bibles, and the children are in their homes, and they open their Bibles, and their parents are thrilled to see their children knowing how to read and to read the Word of God. And it's just, so overwhelming with joy to see that happening. And it's not without its struggles and its imperfections, but overall the work is just amazing. And then it led to there was a need in the community for medical help. These are the poorest of the poor, as Reverend Sadar Medin, our director, says. He himself being raised out of the slum by the heartfelt burden of a Presbyterian missionary lady who saw this poor child at, 5 years old having to care for his family because his mother had died. And he's not lost sight of that he himself was lifted out of, such abject poverty. And so now we have these four academies, and then we opened the medical clinic to minister to their physical needs there. And we have two medical clinics with a doctor that basically volunteers. We give them a small stipend, but, help with the work, and a full-time nurse on call and medicine. They pay a little bit, but we certainly, underwrite the major part of the cost in helping them, because they are, in such abject poverty. I mean, most of the parents are gone all day, leaving their children, to these conditions, because they have to go out and just get enough food or income for the day. I think, the average annual income of a Pakistani is only less than $1,000 a year. So they're struggling. And so our ministry there to reaching out to them and reaching out to their children was just, God really doing that and showing this is what you need to do. Raise up this new generation to follow the Lord, and that's what we're doing. We can't allow Muslims to come to the school, because that would, be a real problem. It would, you'd run into that conflict of the blasphemy law. No, we are distinctly Christian. And we're primarily working, Chris, with what we call nominal Christians as far as outreach goes. It's against the law to preach the gospel openly in Pakistan. And even witnessing is problematic. We do it clandestinely, so to say. But we had at one time a radio and television program, but they shut all that down. So it's word of mouth. And you have the legacy of the Presbyterian missionaries. They were really the pioneers in Pakistan, along with the Anglicans, give them their due. And we're working with people who haven't had pastors, and yet, their father was a Christian, and their grandfather, and we're Christians, and they even take Christian names. You hear typically people from Muslim worlds called Muhammad. Well, another name that's typical for the Christians in those Muslim worlds is take the name Masih, and that means Messiah. And they're identified with Christ, yet they may not really understand the gospel. So we're there ministering to them, training up pastors to go to their churches, starting congregations. We began, 40 years ago. There was no denomination or anything, but we began working with men and teaching them, the Reformed faith, again, using the Westminster Standards as our standard of doctrine and practice, and told them there's no money to be found. This isn't about coming to make money. It's coming for standing on the truth of God and His Word. The church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. From that grew the Lahore Council of Bible-Believing Churches, over 50 congregations. I think something like 30 of the pastors are graduates now from the Presbyterian Theological Seminary that we manage. That's located at Calvin Christian Academy Number 1, as it's noted. And so we're doing medical missionary work. We're doing education of the children, K through 10. And we have, as I said earlier, the Bible Literacy Centers. We work with local pastors, and there are around 35 of them where primarily children are being taught to read, but the parents come, older folks, they're a little embarrassed, but they also eventually join in. It's been a tremendous ministry, and we use the Bible as the primer for teaching them to read. In a very fruitful ministry of strengthening the churches and the church overall in Pakistan. And it's a real blessing to be able to do that work. That's kind of it, the nutshell for Pakistan, that we have other fields as well that we serve.
And let me take another listener question, and we'll return to some of those other areas geographically where you do serve. We have Christopher in Western Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And Christopher asks, since you have representatives of your ministry on the mission field in Pakistan, I was wondering if you could recommend any good books on the religion of Islam.
good books on the religion of Islam, yes.
I can mention one while you're thinking. One that is excellent, that I've heard many rave reviews about, What Every Christian Needs to Know About the Quran, by Dr. James R. White, who is actually a very close personal friend of mine, going back to 1995. And you can find out more about that book, What Every Christian Needs to Know About the Quran, at aomin.org. That's the website of Alpha and Omega Ministries, aomin.org. And you could also go to cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who sponsors this program. But any suggestions of your own?
Oh, boy, there's a number of good ones out there. In particular...
Well, I can also throw out another one that would be, I think, helpful in a dialogue or a discussion with Muslims, even though this is not particularly intended specifically as a book regarding ministry to Muslims. It involves a key tenet of the Christian faith that Muslims believe is the worst form of blasphemy that anyone could believe or teach. In fact, the worst sin that anyone, according to Islam, they believe that the Trinity, belief in the Trinity, they wrongly understand it, and in fact the Quran misdefines it as being Mary, God, the Father, and Jesus. The Forgotten Trinity, also by Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and I have the privilege of having that book dedicated to me, actually, by Dr. White when he first came out with that book in 1998, I believe. And you can also go to cvbbs.com for that book, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. But if you have any other ideas, you could bring that up later, or you could email me and I could email them to Christopher and anybody else that has an inquiry about books for Muslims or to educate Christians about Islam.
Yeah, there's a great series that's free online if they do a search, by Google, by Abu, A-B-U, Atala, A-T-A-L-L-A-H, Abu Atala, and this look him up, and he has, he goes through the whole view of Islam about who Jesus is, about God, what it was for him to convert to Christianity, and answers for Muslims dealing with many of the aspects of their religion. The five great pillars of Islam that they teach that you have to perform, in order to be a good Muslim. I'm trying to think of the fellow that was involved with, R.C. Sproul had him with Ligonier for a while, and he died suddenly. What is his name?
Well, I could perhaps look that up at some point.
Yeah, I think he was another one who, with the pancreatic cancer, took him suddenly and quickly.
James Montgomery Boyce?
No.
Well, I'll investigate that and I'll inform.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. We're going to our final break right now, and when we return, we're going to hear more about different areas of the world where Westminster Biblical Missions is blessing the kingdom, and we'll start with Mexico when we come back. But if anybody,
let me say that. That folks, if they go to the website, wbminc.org, and they can contact me through the website, as my email to contact me, and I can send them material.
Okay, great.
About a bibliography for Islam, of good books,
and quickly, I just wanted to add, I forgot, I don't know how I could forget, my very dear friend, Dr. Tony Costa, who is the professor of Islam and apologetics at Toronto Baptist Seminary, if you go to his Facebook page, that's the best way these days to get a hold of him and what he's doing and what he, the YouTube lectures he gives on the subject and other places. Go to Facebook and look up Tony Costa, C-O-S-T-A, and make sure it's the professor from Toronto Baptist Seminary. But we're going to our... Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead if you got a break.
Yeah, we're going to a break right now, and you could pick up where you left off there if you want to say something. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question, I would highly advise you send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dennis E. Rowe.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit getworldnow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at wng.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back. Dennis Rowe, tell us about the work of Westminster Biblical Missions in Mexico.
The work in Mexico is among the Purépecha people. Typically they're called Tarascan, is a more modern name, probably the Spanish influence. But this began in God's providence when I first started pastoring. I was pastoring up in northeast Pennsylvania, and I published a blurb about, you know, we're starting a church there and anybody interested and so forth. It was published in the old Presbyterian Journal. And this brother Sought, who was originally from that area and from the town of Carbondale, where I was starting out, and turned out that he was one of the founders of Wycliffe. Began with Cameron Townsend way back in the 40s, I believe, and he was in the third graduating class of Westminster Seminary. And his name was Dr. Max Lathrop. And he lived and worked in Mexico for over 40 years, developed many of the principles for translating the Bible. In fact, he translated the entire New Testament into the Purépecha language. But you can find out more about that in particular on our website under Mexico. Dr. Bill Higgins is our field chairman to Mexico. He's been doing that work for over 20 years now. What began with Bible studies among the Tarascans. Dr. Lathrop was not an ordained minister. He didn't really organize churches. They were more like Bible study groups and so forth. And I saw early on meeting with him and visiting the Tarasca or the Purépecha people that there was a need for teaching them Reformed church government. And that's, as I say, it's been over 20 years of Dr. Higgins. He's really the one who's been pioneering that, taking up the work of Dr. Lathrop. And they've organized the presbytery with a number of organized churches now for the people. And they're doing the work of being self-governing, self-supporting, and self-propagating. They're evangelizing the villages where Dr. Lathrop had gone through the years. And this is in central Mexico, about 4 hours west of Mexico City. And the population is about 40,000 Purépecha people. And there's been just a real open door there to evangelize and to build up churches. That's what we're doing. And they have a lot of good material because in Spanish there's been a lot of sound, historic, biblical material translated, and many of the works of the reformers and so forth are available, and we're using those and distributing them among the people. I should say that at the heart of Westminster Biblical Mission's evangelistic work is getting the Bible into the hands of the people wherever we are. We've given out thousands of Bibles in Pakistan. My first trip into Mexico, we had filled up the back end of a pickup truck with Spanish Bibles, and we went out through the countryside distributing them and giving them to people. And we do that in our fields in Central and Eastern Europe, as well as in Nepal, where I've started working in the past 6 years. And the work in Mexico is pressing on, and we're just thankful that God is raising up a witness to Christ. It can be very difficult there. It's 90%+ Roman Catholic, and they do persecute Protestants.
How do they do that specifically?
Well, they actually have murdered some of the pastors.
Wow.
They will threaten them. The priests will tell them they lose their salvation. They have anything to do with those Protestants. Don't rent to them. If you do, you'll be, basically booted out of the church, threatening them against commerce with them, all sorts of things. It's a whole other world down there, and Rome has reared its ugly head often in Mexico, where it dominates. So it's difficult for them. It's almost like Islam, where you're converted to Christ, you're kicked out by your family, and so there's no need for us to be there and helping them, just coming alongside them as brothers, encouraging them. One of the things we do is we organize conferences. In particular, we just finished last week, first time ever we had to do it online because of coronavirus, but we had Zoom Reformation Bible Conference for the folks in Mexico, where we've been going for 25 years holding those conferences.
Well, I'm going to give you now a minute to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Oh, come alongside of us. We need your help. Be co-laborers with us in mission. You may not be able to go yourself, but, you can pray for us. We need prayer warriors. Take our newsletters, Take your refrigerator magnet and put them up there and remember us in prayer. We definitely need that help and assistance. Of course, we have financial needs, but most important is that God's people are interceding for us. We're in a new field in Nepal. We need your help there. We're up against, what we're up against there, demonic forces, if you will. Satan is not happy about what's going on. Just in the 70s, you could barely find a Christian in Nepal. And even after 20 years, there were maybe 5,000. But God has opened the door, and now there are hundreds of thousands of Christians. And very unorganized, and they desperately need sound doctrine. But all of our fields do. And we emphasize sound doctrine because God does. You read 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, that's Paul's instruction to the church. And Paul is the great missionary. That's what he said you build the church on. Not upon gimmicks and just trying to bring people in by external methods, but by preaching Jesus Christ, preaching his cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the heart of the gospel, that sound doctrine. That's what God uses. The Holy Spirit bears witness to Christ. That's his chief function, if you will. Jesus said that he had to come. There would be that other witness.
And we are now out of time, brother, and I will repeat your website, WBMINC, that's for Westminster Biblical Missions, Inc., Incorporated, WBMINC.org. I want to thank you so much for being such an excellent guest today, Dennis. I look forward to your return. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. May God bless your labors, too.
Thank you, brother.